Thank you, Sharon, and thanks to all of you who are troopers and still here at almost 5 o'clock. And I really appreciate it. I want to start with a special thanks. I had some help from Ray's family with this. I first called Lorraine McManaman, who is Ray's sister, and she put me in touch with Joan, and Joan put me in touch with Mary, and Mary provided some of the photos that you'll see in the talk today. So thank you. And thank you for sitting through all this science stuff. It's amazing to me. So anyway, and a little explanation as well. There's sort of a generation gap here. I'm maybe one of the youngest speakers in the symposium, and so I just wanted to explain how I knew Ray. I first met Ray in 99 at these meetings, at the first time I came to these meetings and met him then. But then I went to Minnesota for 5 years, and in three of those years, Ray was living, and we got to know each other during those 3 years I was in Minnesota. So just try to say something about what he tried to teach me. And I say tried to teach me because I'm a slow learner, and he was working on me, but I don't claim to have learned all these things to the extent that Ray had learned them and that I hope to learn them before my career is over. But I'm still working. I'm going to just talk about three areas: statistics, soil, and art. First, about statistics. I came as a master's student to the Tri-Societies meeting in 1999, which were in Salt Lake City. I expect some of you were there at those meetings. And I put up my poster, my very first poster, and it was on a topic, this was the title, Simultaneous Bulk Density and Water Content Measurement, A New Approach to an Old Problem. And Bob, I was working with Bob Horton, and we had an idea, and we had developed a non-destructive sensing technique for bulk density, which was something new, and this little figure shows some of the data that we had, and we were just kind of starting out with this idea. And I put my poster up in the morning, and then I went away to go to talks, and I came and I left a little notepad there in hopes that somebody might leave me some comments or suggestions. And so I came back eagerly after lunch to see if there was any comments. And I kept that paper for a long time, but I couldn't find it for this talk. But anyway, I remember it, what it said on the first line. The very first response was just three words. It said, "Good work, period, covariance, exclamation point." And it said Ray Almaris. And I thought, wow, why does covariance deserve an exclamation point? But of course, that was my first hint of Ray's personality. And there's a picture of Ray. And it just so happened that Ray was still standing close by. And Bob Horton took the opportunity to introduce me to Ray. And that was our first meeting. And he, in that conversation and in pretty much every subsequent conversation we had, gave me some encouragement about the work. And then he gave me some good advice about to look at the covariance of the underlying measurements that were going into our data to try to improve the quality of our measurement. And I really appreciated about that. And I went on later to learn, of course, that Ray had a lot of expertise in this area. And as many of you know, and you know better than I do, but still, if I go to my bookshelf and pull off our Methods of Soil Analysis 2002, and I'll turn there and see the chapter, Almaris and Kempthorne, on errors, variability, and precision. So he always had a commitment to excellent measurements, and that's something that I think he was trying to teach me. Another thing really was just about the time he was willing to take on his work. And this is a excerpt. It's table 9, if you can read that, of a handwritten, essentially a draft of a manuscript. And I think there's like 15 tables in this manuscript, all written out very carefully by hand, and with the means and the standard errors calculated here, comparing This is very similar to the one, Dave, that you just showed. Very same kind of data, no-till, mowboard, chisel plow, soil organic carbon, and so forth. And I just looked at that packet of data, you know, the findings. He had written out what the data meant, and he had these tables in there, and they were all very precisely laid out. And I don't know how he did the calculations. I know, you know, I don't know. Anyway, but let me just say he took a lot of care, a lot of time to do his work carefully, paid attention to detail. But when he was teaching me about statistics, you know, in looking back, I realized that, you know, it wasn't just about statistics. It was something more than that. And I'll show that by this note that he gave me. And this was on the front now of this packet that I've been discussing. Let me give a little context. About this time, John Baker had written a manuscript, a commentary, and I was a co-author on that. And it was it had the title, Tillage and Soil Carbon Sequestration, What Do We Really Know? And it was just raising some questions about the relationship. And I'll just say that it was what was received with some controversy, I guess, and didn't get a warm reception from everyone. And Ray was well aware of what was going on and that I was a little bit involved. And so he said, Tyson, this bundle is the analysis we have for the NTRM, that's an experiment, 0 to 45 centimeters, 10 years of corn. Maybe this could be used to support what you and John have written and extend into the practice of Stover Harvest, and signed Ray. And, you know, what was going on there is that he was just giving an example how to try to come along and encourage somebody and advise somebody who's just kind of getting started in their career. And so, you know, it was really about more than just statistics. Now, about soil science, Ray was always set an example about the value of reading and good reading. And I'll go back to this exact example that Daniel showed just a moment ago. And this is the same page, so just a little more detail. And anyway, you'd see I had highlighted the same thing that Daniel had found as being quite interesting. If I were several years younger, I would evaluate tillage, traffic, residue management, how they all relate to this S theory, which Tony Dexter had developed. And so this was in 2005. And just one additional note, you could have gone today at 11 o'clock this morning and heard a paper called Application of S Theory to Evaluate the Effects of Tillage and Cover Crops on Soil Quality. Okay, and so this, I think Ray could look ahead and see exactly the direction that we should be going, and this was 5 years earlier, and this is still the cutting edge of our science. And so I think it really says something about his understanding. And he set an example for me on that. It wasn't just about the latest thing that Ray taught an appreciation, but also the classics. And here is a classic by a gentleman we've heard mentioned earlier, Champ Tanner. So Burrell was referring to Champ Tanner, and this is, of course, his classic manual on basic instrumentation and measurements. And this is Ray's personal copy, which he gave to me, and I really cherish that. So anyway, he was helping me to get grounded not only in what was happening right now, but everything that had happened before. And so I really appreciated, as Burrell shared yesterday, that, you know, he learned from Ray, and you can see that Ray had learned from Champ, and it came full circle because Burrell had to go back and work with Champ. So somehow it all worked out. And this one, it perhaps even more unique. This is a bit older work, 1956, on the influence of tillage on conduction of heat, diffusion of air, and infiltration of water in soil by Van Duyn from the Netherlands. And Bill Larson had this work translated into English, and Ray provided a copy for me. And it says, in 2004, Tyson, this is a classic. It may not have what you want, but makes a soil physicist look good or better. Signed, Ray. And then he says, keep it down the bottom. Well, this wasn't just about cleaning out his office. He wasn't just trying to unload stuff on me. But I think he was showing me the value of learning to participate in the scientific dialogue and learning from others. Of course, we've heard lots about the care he took to observe the soil in situ and how much value he placed on that. And this, again, classic work in that technical bulletin that on surface energy balance and soil thermal property modifications by tillage-induced soil structure. And it's really just a great piece of work. And as was pointed out yesterday, you know, they took such care, they wanted to make sure they did not disturb that system which they were trying to measure, so they wouldn't even set foot inside the research plots, but they built this catwalk so they could do their measurements without even touching the plots. And so it was just a great commitment to doing quality work. And I just think it's a good example for us. And then Dave just showed this one. So, and I'll just show one thing a bit more on it, but this is a DMI. And just to say that, if you're not familiar with it, it has it has discs across the front, so a single gang of discs on the front, and then it has big shanks that run deep in the soil, and the shanks are spaced about 3 feet apart. Okay, and it's maybe the most common tillage implement used today on corn stover. At least, let's just say it's used on millions of acres of corn residue in the U.S. every year. And, you know, Ray took the time, he wanted to see what it did. And it does something very interesting. So Dave, I'm sure you can say more, but they excavated that, and then they took away all the loose soil that had been disturbed by the tillage and just showed what remained. And what it creates is this very interesting subsurface topography, so that you have valleys where the shanks ran, but in the middle you have these ridges that are underneath the surface of the soil. So where the shanks go, you could have disturbed soil down to a foot deep, 12 inches deep, but in the middle only 5 inches deep. So you look out across that field and you don't see it, but under the surface there's a subsurface topography, and to my knowledge no one has followed through to understand what are the impacts of that subsurface tillage-induced topography on soil water flow, nutrient transport, and energy balance. So certainly I'm sure Ray, if he were here, would be telling us subtly to get with it and figure this stuff out. And of course, the classic roots and just all the work they did there was really, I don't think it's been equaled before or since in all the root work that they did. And this one especially, Dave referenced these papers also, but I get these out even now for my students, because I don't have any better data to turn to, even though this was from 1975. And here we are, we're still using this data. So this shows soil water flow days since July 1st, and you can see these are the depth increments. So initially, 15 to 34 centimeter depth increment, there was some water upflow, but you see how the depth of maximum flow goes deeper and deeper over time, so that by July 30th, you have 8 millimeters per day upward water flow at 1 meter deep. So this is very similar to what Sally was showing in hers. So fantastic piece of work that they did there. But it wasn't only about the soil, I think, that he was trying to teach me. As he was showing me the soil literature, both old and new, he was really teaching me to learn by listening to others first. And then as I later discovered his work, you know, he never really told me about his work, but I discovered it on my own of necessity, and he showed me, I think, the value of working hard to add something of value to the scientific conversation. And so I really appreciate that. And now finally about art, the part of my title which I have received several questions on. And Ray taught me about art appreciation, and especially this one particular piece of art, This is a print that hangs in my office, and it was given to me by a wheat and cotton farmer from southwest Oklahoma, my father. And Ray loved this picture. He really appreciated this picture and the caption, which is a piece of cake. And he would come into my office and sit down and look at that picture, and every time he had a new comment to make about it and about what he appreciated about it. So he would come in one day and he would talk about, you know, what this cowboy was thinking. And then the next day he would talk about what this other cowboy was thinking. And then he would talk about, you know, what this bull represented or whatever. And somehow he was always just making some jokes about it in his own way, and oftentimes would tie it back to the work of soil science. And we just had a lot of fun with it. He really taught me to appreciate this picture in a new way. And I just show one example, because it's the only one I have preserved in writing. This is an excerpt. Ray and I had been discussing this idea of ultrasonic tillage, so essentially using sound waves to loosen the soil. And this was a whole page of text, and I just kept the top line and then the bottom line. And so he said, Tyson, good luck. Maybe acoustics is your new interest. See how it might put that Santa Gertrudis bull on the run. That was just representative of the kind of, you know, good humor that he had and the fun that we had in our discussions. So, you know, of course, it wasn't ever about the picture or the art that he was appreciating so much. I think he was just setting an example for me that even in science, relationships matter. And it's in the relationships with each other that we can find a lot of joy and satisfaction in our work. And I think he was just showing that. So in conclusion, you know, Ray, he taught me about statistics, but in so doing, he was giving me an example, you know, to how to come alongside another scientist, especially younger scientists, and encourage them. He taught me about the soil and soil science, but in so doing, I think he was really showing me the value of the scientific conversation and how to both listen and contribute to that conversation. And then in teaching me about art, you know, it was really much more than that. He was really showing me the value of relationships and investing in other people. So for all those reasons, it was a blessing to know him, and I really thank God that I had the opportunity to get to know Ray. Thank you for your attention.
Okay, we have time for questions, comments. I would really thank all the speakers this afternoon, all the speakers we had yesterday. I appreciate your time. I appreciate you putting it together. People are thanking me. I didn't do anything except set this up for you guys. I would love to have emails so that I can send them and forward them on to Ray's family, and I will be sending out an email so that you know where to send them. Sure, go for it. Yes, go for it.
Now, if we leave that set up, it will continue to record it so we can have it as a record.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm Mary, Ray's daughter, and just really quickly on behalf of Ray's family, wanted to thank Sharon, initiative to put this symposium together, and all of her efforts, and I did want to thank all of the speakers. It was really, for the last 2 days, the two-part symposium, was really an opportunity, better understanding that I gained, and I'm sure my sisters did as well, of the impact of his contribution, and also to see the continuation of his work. What was also fun was to see the personal connections that you each shared. Through the eyes of his children, my father inspired us to learn, and he did that through example. We saw him in the evenings reading and studying, or editing your manuscripts. But he did this amongst six children, you know, six children running around. So we were spending family time together, and he showed us examples of how to continually learn. He also, in the learning, for my father, any kind of homework exercise typically ended up as advanced learning. Eighth grade algebra homework question turned into a calculus exercise. And so we continually had that opportunity. And it's interesting that each of his children, the five living children, we all have careers that are oriented, detail-oriented, and require us to be precise. So we continued to learn that through our father and have taken that through into our careers as well. I was going to share with you one of the most challenging things, though, growing up was really understanding his profession. And the first time that I had an opportunity to try to describe what my father did was when I was about 8 or 9 years old. I was in a Girl Scout, and we were going to spend some time with our fathers at a dinner. So we were preparing for it, and we were asked to put together placemats that described our father's profession. And it took me quite a while, but I came up with a brown piece of construction paper, crumpled up some more brown construction paper, and glued it on top. And then I had the opportunity to try to explain that to everybody as they were looking at what was our father's profession. And to me, as an 8 or 9 year old, I knew he worked in soil. Soil was brown, that's all I could come up with. But it was through, you know, continual years that growing up, my father continued to show us more about his profession by describing erosion as we would drive down the roads. And then later we got to spend time, I think each of us had an opportunity to spend time working at the station in the summers when we were teenagers, and then coming back in college working in the summers. But the last 2 days, really appreciated because it gave an opportunity to gain a better perspective of his life work. So I thank you very much for inviting our race family here to participate in the last couple of days. So thank you very much. Thank you.